Hesh, Hesher Dude, Hesher McHesherton, El Hesherino, and Hesher the Magnificent.
Who calls him that?
Brian McClain is Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Hey you, how you doing out there? I hope you're well and not letting the weight of the clown world burden you too much. Don't let it get you down. We're going to have our kicks, everybody. It is my contention that a worldview based in a context that is as close to reality as possible and the ability slash skill set to take care of ourselves in a way that helps us thrive physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally are the top two things we can do to affect change and not get ground down by the clowns. If you're hearing my voice on this day at this time or any other time after this live broadcast, thank you for spending some of your valuable time with me and my guests here on today's News Talk. We got a ripping good show lined up for you today. In the third hour, I'll be speaking with Lawrence McQuillan about how to resolve America's public pension crisis. In the second hour, I'll be joined by Michael Bussler. He's a professor of finance at Stockton University. And if you're a regular listener, you've heard him on the show before. And in this first hour, I'll be talking to Ronnie Cummins of Organic Consumers Association and co-author of The Truth About COVID-19. So we'll be introducing Ronnie in a moment here. But first, let's take a couple quick headlines. NASA completes planetary defense test. Meh. Who cares? What a colossal waste of energy, money, and time, and manpower. What do we have to see so far? Well, some illustrations. Somebody with a computer making us some pretty cartoon illustrations to show us what's going on up there in space. NASA does not believe any asteroids of that size are slated to hit Earth anytime in the next century, but researchers regularly discover new objects flying through space. So, hey, watch out, everybody. We live in a big Hollywood movie here, don't we? You never know when some superhero is going to have to fly into space on some $325 million project. Why is doing that so much cheaper than supporting Ukraine? Asking for a friend. All right. What else we got going? Black gun rights activists demand closed borders in an Austin protest right here in my home state of Texas. Well, what's up with that? A group of armed black Second Amendment activists, quote unquote, marched through Austin over the weekend and called on the U.S. to close its borders and put an end to illegal immigration. All right, conservatives, we don't mind that statement too much. What else is going on here? The protesters gathered together by Elmer Geronimo Pratt Gun Club moved through the city toward the Texas Capitol on Saturday in what they called the Second Amendment Unity Walk. They were doing chants and stuff. So protesters are telling immigrants to go home to their countries. Their chant was, immigrants, we've been here. A woman yelled into the megaphone, take your ass home. A group chanted in response. But here's where it gets a little sticky, everybody. The black gun rights group's key demands, well, are they really about borders and stuff like that? No. Their key demands are for reparations for the descendants of slaves and a hate crime bill to specifically protect black Americans. So you got a bunch of activists in black masks and militant uniforms armed with flashy rifles, all blinged out, you know, a bunch of Gucci rifles. By visual account and headline account, they appear to be sort of a based black 2A and immigration reform set of activists. But, you know, you get to the bottom of the article and you found out their key demands are reparations and special hate crime bills to be passed. So that one doesn't really pass the sniff test for me, folks. All right. Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We are on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Gitter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk.
News reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. My guest is the co-founder and international director of the Organic Consumers Association, the OCA. And it has international affiliates also that are very interesting. via Organica in Mexico and Regeneration International. He's an author and an all-around health advocate. OCA is a nonprofit U.S.-based network of 2 million consumers dedicated to safeguarding organic standards and promoting a healthy, just, and regenerative system of food, farming, and land use. The OCA's primary strategy is to work on national and global campaigns that integrate public education, marketplace pressure, media work, litigation, and grassroots lobbying. Among his books are Genetically Engineered Food, A Self-Defense Guide for Consumers, Grassroots Rising, A Call to Action on Climate Farming Food, and A Green New Deal. His latest book, The Truth About COVID-19, co-authored with Dr. Joseph Mercola, of course. His name is Ronnie Cummins. Ronnie, welcome to the show. How are you today? It's great to see you.
Good to be with you today.
Yes, thank you for taking the time. So let's see here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in things like you're doing at the Organic Consumers Association?
Well, I grew up in Texas in a highly polluted area on the Gulf Coast, and I got involved in the 1960s in the civil rights work and anti-war work. And my grandparents were organic farmers in Southeast Texas, even though they didn't use the word organic. And so I had since I was a little kid, I loved farm animals and farm life and the outdoors. So 50 years later, I'm still doing more or less what I've done since the 1960s, writing, campaigning, trying to work with farmers and consumers to make a better world.
All right. I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm a California refugee. I moved out here to Texas about 7 years ago, and I miss my climate. I miss the climate in California. I'm still getting used to the heat out here in the summer and the unexpected coldness in the winter out here in Central Texas, but I absolutely love it. And, you know, it feels really good to just drive around the state and see all the farming activities and ranching activities that go on here. You know, I think, as you probably know even better than me or most of the audience, our whole industry, our food industry as a whole, has been under constant attack for quite a long time. I mean, I think, you know, I was looking back at you know, in the wake of Mar-a-Lago, I've been looking back at some of the atrocious crimes of three-letter agencies like the FBI and the FDA, and it took me all the way back to Ruby Ridge, and I started looking at, you know, how that all happened to that family, and it all started, I mean, I don't think a lot of people remember this, but it all started when the federal government started coming into, I believe he was in Iowa with his family when he was just starting his family, Randy Weaver. And he was seeing his community get just pummeled. You know, the government was coming in, FDA was shutting things down, banks were coming in and foreclosing stuff. They're having all these auctions. And, you know, he kind of took that as almost the biblical sense. You know, he was like, wow, this has gotten really bad. I'm going to take my family and I'm going off grid. He was like, you know, maybe aside from Kaczynski, he was one of the first off-grid guys. Not that those two guys should be compared in any way, shape, or form. But I found it really interesting that, you know, that path that he ended up changing his life forever. You know, he lost his wife and his son over all the things that happened out there. But it all started with the realization that our farmers are under a massive attack from government, from global government, from Fortune 100, and all these forces that want to control the food supply, you know. And then I've been interested in GMOs for quite a while, for 10 years or so. It's been trying to stay away from those. So this idea of GMO labeling is really important. And the story of Randy Weaver, I think everybody, if you don't know it, you should check it out. You should dig into it, read everything you can, because when you really realize what's going on, You know, you look at all the shutting down and demonization of farmers and ranchers in this country, and it's been really bad. It's led people to, you know, have to go off grid like Mr. Weaver did. So what do you think about that? How does that smack you? Like, what's your experience with, you know, just sort of the general attack that heritage farmers and ranchers have had to deal with here in this country for the last 20 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, for 80 years, the government has been subsidizing bad farming and ranching and making it really difficult for small farmers and ranchers to make a living. And now it's simply escalated since the COVID disaster with, you know, so many small businesses going out of business, rural America especially suffering. And, you know, now all these unexplained fires and disruptions in the world food supply channels. But there's also some good news, which is that, you know, even during COVID, people bought more local food, more organic food. They bought, you know, natural herbs and supplements. The public is waking up to the fact that we can't rely on the federal government to save us. We got to take control of our health and our communities. And I think we're going to see a decentralization of power over the next few years and a resurgence of, you know, community controlled institutions. And that's one thing I like about living. I live part of the year in far north Minnesota, rural America, and things look really different in rural America than they look in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the cities, and so on. And I think that rural America is going to help get the whole country back moving in the right direction. But it's going to take a while. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, that's why we got to do conversations like this. And that's why TNT Radio is so important and others that do similar sort of reporting. Because, you know, like I said in the intro there, it really starts with us. I think it's become clear to people, especially like you mentioned, after COVID, it's becoming very clear to a lot of people who may have been stuck in the 9-to-5 grind before COVID, now that they've been told they're unessential for a year and that they have to engage, you know, in medical experiments for a year. And now we're looking at war, potentially a lot of saber rattling and money flying around and arms flying around and borders being redrawn and referendums being made, things like this. We're not going to find a hero in the government. We're just not going to find a hero in the FDA. We're not going to have the Lone Ranger, the Lone Organic Ranger come along, you know, in his black mask and save us from the dirty deeds of these people. But I think you're absolutely right. Rural America, and not just rural America, but I would also add pretty much all of non-progressive America, which has got to be a huge number. That's got to be over 100 million people in this country. You know, like libertarians, center right, center left, you know, classic liberals even. I made a rant the last week where I said, hey, guess what? Classic liberals out there, Joe Biden just called you a MAGA terrorist. You know what I mean? Because like, he's not just talking about people with red hats that love Donald Trump. He's talking about everybody that's not in on his plan. And I'm seeing people come on the show and say, hey, out here in California, we had 500 parents show up at the school board meeting. We used to get like two. And now there's 250 sitting here in the building asking all these, you know, board directors, what are you going to do if they do another mask mandate? What are you going to do if they tell us monkeypox, blah, blah, blah? You know, people are activated right now, and I think it's super important. And GMO is a big one on my list. You start looking into what how GMOs affect the body and what amount of testing has been done on them, and it gets really scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I got involved against genetic engineering or out of control genetic engineering way back 30 years ago. And I became alarmed at how scientists were playing God and telling us they could solve all the problems. But yet what they were doing was not scientifically sound. And, you know, lately we've seen that, hey, genetically engineering food and crops is not a good idea. That's why people would like to see labels on them so they could avoid buying them. But also genetically engineering vaccines and genetically engineering bioweapons like this SARS-CoV-2, we got a serious problem on our hands here. And we better look out and get this technology and the out of control technologists under control, or it's going to get worse, not better. I mean, as we're talking here today, there's people all over the world in these so-called bio labs making viruses and bacteria and insects more dangerous, claiming they're going to help our health. But, you know, why are the militaries, whether it's the Chinese military or the U.S. or Russia, why are they funding these things? You know, there's a biological arms race going on that it's unlikely there's going to be a clear winner. So I think we need to step up and realize that human beings are not God. We can't just mix and match genes and hope for the best. We've got to put an end to this right now while we still have a chance.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good place for us to take a quick station break here. We will be right back, everybody, with Ronnie Cummins after a break with today's news talk.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
On Sky News just yesterday, Paul Murray came out with a story talking about how in Australia, our children have never had higher levels of depression and anxiety in this country. And Murray was asking his guests, how is it? Never had more wealth. We're in peacetime. I don't know where he got that one from. And why is that our kids feel this way? Well, doctor will tell you diet and exercise helps, but it's not the same for every individual, of course, is it? Because as we know, also sports people can get depressed too. And medication will not make one vital. Neither does indoctrination in schools, the bastion of forced monoculture, nor does hearing ad nauseum that the price of housing is out of reach. And that breeds hopelessness. Mum and dad spend their lives trying to pay off their house before they retire and die. How could that ever motivate anyone, any child, to believe that housing prices are astronomically going up exponentially? And I'm meant to compete. I don't know anything, and I've got to go out there and find a career and a job and rest. And it's all getting too hard. No wonder the kids feel the way they do.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Bringing the credibility of the TNT Radio Network directly to your device with news updates every 30 minutes Monday to Friday and on the hour on weekends. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is the Brian McLean Show, and I am joined by Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association. Welcome back, Ronnie. So, you know, it's pretty interesting what's going on here. And, you know, there seems to be a bit of a, I don't know if I would even call it a schism. There seems to be sort of a pet argument going on about lab leak and all that stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to the really important stuff, like these jabs going around that they just keep getting worse and worse, the more people find out about them, the less they want to take them. regardless of what's going on with everything else. That's a huge problem. And the way that the government's reacted to the whole thing, that's a huge problem. I love that there are, you know, we're kind of able as a community of people, if you will, I don't really like the word community sometimes. It's got, you know, communitarian aspects and Marxist aspects to it, but sometimes it still fits, you know. But it really seems like we should all be able to agree that this whole gain of function research crap needs to end. It needs to end at all of these laboratories, this international, you know, it's like you look at some articles about it and it's like, oh, all the governments are working together on this. And then you look at other articles about it and it's like, oh, Americans totally exceptional and these people are totally awful. You know, let's have a war over it after we finish this other war or something like that, you know. And man, I just like to leapfrog all that stuff sometimes because the really important stuff is our health, you know. And when it comes right down to it, there's not a whole lot we can do about these stupid projects going on, you know, just in a pile of violent, lame, anti-human projects that governments around the world like to participate in. But I'm having a hard time deciding if I want to ask you about the jab or if I want to ask you about GMO labeling. So I'll let you pick up the ball from here and sort of direct me to where you want to talk next.
Well, it's important to realize that these experimental vaccines should be put in quotation marks, the vaccines. I mean, in the old days, people thought about a vaccine as, well, you take, in this case, a virus, something like a smallpox virus. And then they discovered that, well, there's this cowpox virus that's very similar to that. And if you take the cowpox virus, this was, you know, in the 19th century, and give that as a vaccine to humans, they can fight off the smallpox. Okay. Well, these new so-called vaccines are not vaccines. These are what we used to call gene therapy drugs. And, you know, in 1999, when there was an experiment that went awry and killed a young person with a gene therapy drug, it put the brakes on this technology. But lo and behold, these people didn't give up, and they were able to panic people and rush to market. And again, this is not a partisan issue. You know, Trump started the crash program to get these vaccines in people's arms. Biden, you know, one-upped him on that to actually mandate or try to mandate all these things. And the bottom line is that we didn't need these experimental drugs injected into a billion people around the world at all. The reason it happened is because the mass media gets most of their advertising revenue from big pharmaceutical companies. We've got government agencies that are captured by the pharmaceutical industry, and we've got this unholy alliance between, you know, the CIA and big pharma and Silicon Valley. And when you look closer, you see people like whether we're talking Jeffrey Epstein or Bill Gates, or that these people are working together hand in hand, and they do not have our interests at mind. We had drugs from the beginning that were really effective at helping people fight off this engineered virus. You know, malaria medicines, parasite medicines. People tried these out and found out they work, but of course, Gates and the rest had to suppress the use of things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin because the way the law reads, you can't ram through a genetically engineered experimental drug under emergency use if there's something that works better. And of course, what works the best is our own natural immunity systems. And the reason the U.S. Had more people in the world with, you know, COVID-19 on their death certificates, even though it was wildly inflated. It wasn't the primary cause of most of these deaths. But we have an epidemic of chronic disease in this country that, again, the root cause is out of control profiteers and mad scientists. And we need to get a grip on taking back control of our health and taking back control of our liberties. I mean, it's outrageous that they can mandate experimental drugs. This is supposed to be against international law, the Nuremberg principles after World War II. Supposedly, we learned this, but here we are again. We nearly went into a 1984-type permanent system, and if we don't look out, they're going to try it again. I mean, they tried to roll out the monkey pox. That failed. Now they're trying to get everyone to, you know, jab these experimental drugs in your infants and your children, even though they have a bigger risk of being struck by lightning than they do of dying from this COVID-19, which is now mutated into something more like the common cold. But they're going to keep at it because they have found a way to get richer and more powerful and control us and divide us. And we have got to fight with every ounce of energy we have against this. I mean, there's a reason why we have a First Amendment guaranteeing freedom of speech and expression. And we're lucky we have that, but we're going to have to defend that. And it's good we've got the Second Amendment and some of the other Bill of Rights that we have, because we're going in for a rocky ride, and we better be prepared. And now's the time to reach out to your neighbors, to get involved in the community, point out that there aren't any saviors who are going to ride in and save us. It doesn't really matter who's in the White House at this point. The Congress shows no signs of listening to us, and we're going to have to take charge ourselves. Over time, I think we can have a decent government at the federal level, but that's over time. For now, let's concentrate on local, state. Let's get ready. Let's grow our own food again, like our grandparents did. Let's buy our own products instead of, you know, buying everything from Amazon. You know, and let's take a good look at things like this immigration crisis. I mean, I work half the year down in Mexico with impoverished people who, you know, often do think about joining their relatives up north, even though they know it's a dangerous journey and whatever. But I know this for a fact. If people can make a living in their home communities, and where I live in Mexico, rural Mexico, we have 50 workers on our farm, mainly young people. It's an organic research farm. But they're not thinking of paying the cartels to transport them across the border into Texas, because they can make a decent living where they are. And that's the bottom line. Why are these Haitians? Why are these Venezuelans? Why are these Central Americans? Why are these Mexicans risking their lives, paying the cartels to try to get into the United States? It's because they're desperate, you know? And we can only solve this problem by working together as a community to create safe, you know, zones and, you know, economic security or livelihoods for people. Then they're not going to want to move. They're not going to want to leave their families and their homes and, you know, and make that trip to the U.S. And while we're at it, you know, a lot of people are convinced to cross the border illegally by their relatives in the U.S. who are lonesome, you know, who tell them, well, look, I can't come back because, you know, I don't have papers and I'm lonesome. But hey, you can get a good job here in Houston. Come on up, you know. And it's just like, hey, we have got to deal with the roots of this problem. No wall is going to keep desperate people from trying to save their lives and their family. And but the solution is pretty darn simple, which is let's get beyond this so-called free trade, where multinational corporations tell us everything to do, and let's get down to being, you know, good neighbors, like we could be. And, you know, the bottom line, the people of China hate their government. The people of Russia hate their government. The people of Iran hate their government. Now the people of the United States, we hate our government. It's like, what the hell are we doing letting them manipulate us into thinking that we, the downtrodden, are the problem? And let's get more advanced at killing one another. You know, no. I think there's going to be a grassroots rising all over the world. And, you know, the message that's going to come down to is like, we can be good neighbors. You know, we can stop the nonsense. We can live together like we're supposed to. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said there. I got to take a quick station break here for some headlines, but we'll be right back, everybody, with Ronnie Cummins.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Heavy rain and winds are set to batter parts of the UK, with temperatures set to fall to 6 degrees overnight as they expect winds of almost 50 miles per hour to strike Brighton and Scotland on Friday. 200 UK scientists and doctors have signed a petition asking the government to pause the child COVID vaccine campaign. A judge in Spain has ordered the pop star Shakira to go on trial for tax fraud. She could get up to 8 years in prison.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Doctors want to pause the children COVID jab campaign. That's not enough for me. I'm sorry. I'm not liking the word pause. How about we stop it, recall it, and remove indemnity for all these companies, and then disclose all of the emails and phone calls that went back and forth between WHO, China, CDC, NIH, the British equivalent. I want to see all that stuff. I want to see the emails from the IMF going to South American countries and Central American countries, giving them what their strings are that are attached to their COVID money, because all those countries started shutting down all of the protests, the righteous protests that were going on. There were people pissed off all over the world, Ronnie, like you're pointing out. We weren't pissed. We didn't get pissed off after COVID. We were pissed off before it. I mean, we had the yellow vest thing ongoing in France for a long time. In Ecuador, there was massive uprisings in the streets over IMF grants being given to the country, and then fuel just going skyrocketing in prices. We had stuff going on all over the place. And then they drop COVID on us, and then they drop all these dialectics on us. They get us fighting over race. They get us fighting over jabs. They get us fighting with each other over all this stuff. And expect us to believe that a criminal company like Pfizer is going to have anything to do with the white horse that we're expecting to ride in with the Lone Ranger. Instead, we got basically the four horsemen of the apocalypse and Pfizer riding on the the pestilence horse, I guess, to make more money. I agree with you what you were saying before the break there. And you could probably gather that before we even started talking from my intro today. We got to do this stuff ourselves. And one of the big things that we need to do, like you said, is stop buying from Amazon, stop relying on the grocery store, because they've shown us now that they can shut the grocery store down just like they can shut down our ability to fill up our cars at the pump via pricing and all this stuff. And then, you know, what's going to be left if we let these people decide for us how they're going to save our food supply, our global food supply? Well, they're already telling us what they're going to do. They're going to hand you a plate of bugs. They're going to say, eat these crickets, you know.
I was at a conference last weekend, National Health Freedom Coalition in Minneapolis. It was very interesting to meet people from all 50 states who are trying to all deal with the same problems together, this out of control engineering of vaccines and food and you know, the 5G, the you know, the weather modification. And but it was really heartening to see that people are eager now to meet in person and to share experiences, and that it doesn't matter how you voted in the past or if you didn't vote at all. There's a growing critical mass in the United States ready to take off the blinders, look at what's going on, and be positive about it. And, you know, we have overwhelming odds against us, it seems, sometime. But one of the things I've noticed, and I remembered at this conference over the weekend, you notice the people who believe in God or have spiritual beliefs, they're often more optimistic than we can, that we can overcome these what appear to be insurmountable odds at a time. And I think, like I said at this conference, well, maybe I took too much LSD in the 60s or 70s, or what the hell, maybe it was those magic mushrooms I had a few weeks ago. But I think there's a power out there that we can tap into that can enable us to win this battle over time, you know. And, you know, I'm not making up my optimism. I really feel it. And unfortunately, a lot of people are beaten down at this point, and they don't think that we can change things. You can't fight City Hall. You can't fight the big government. You can't fight the Pentagon, and so on and so forth. But I believe we can. And it also makes for a much more enjoyable life, I believe. I love fighting the bad guys. I love trying to develop the positive stuff. I do half and half. And I think we're going to win this. And we need to convey this to our children and our grandchildren. And it's not just rhetoric. They can tell that you give off a subliminal vibration. And if you don't really believe we can change things, you might say something, but people can, you know, the kids especially can perceive it. So we got to make sure we're happy and smiling and make every day count as we go forward, because the young people who are going to carry this on are in a very, very difficult situation in the world in terms of retaining their optimism and believing in themselves. And I mean, the toxic chemicals that assault, you know, babies in the womb and little kids now are much worse than what we had to go through as adults and as, you know, middle-aged people at this point. So they need all the help and inspiration they can get, and we're the ones to give it to them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I make some metaphors about myself and my role and my general attitude, you know, in this fight. And I've told the audience before, hey, I reserve the right to sort of vacillate between hopeful and critical. I'll say critical instead of pissed off. you know, because this is what we're experiencing, you know. But there are days of great hope, and every day there's great hope, actually. It's not just some days. It's like every day there's great hope, even in the worst news days. It's still there. And, you know, I agree with you. This we're at a point, like, I feel I'm raring to go every morning when I get up to do this. And I am not a morning person, but I got to tell you, when that alarm goes off every day, I'm thinking about the guests I'm going to talk to. Thinking about how to keep it real with the audience. And, you know, some parts of the talk might be, oh, that's a little depressing to learn. But other parts, it's like, no, we can do this. And we're here to do this fight. And it's all done with the best of intentions. You know, once we have all realized, and we are, as you pointed out, that people hate their governments everywhere, including here in America. And we can kind of, you know, not get trapped in the American exceptionalism. As much as I do love America and the things that it has provided and what it has done, the fact of the matter is, if we're going to let this, you called it the unholy alliance, if we're going to let the unholy alliance take over, be our saviors, be the arbiters of what is true, what is healthy, what is fair, what is just, then we're screwed. Because that unholy alliance, I also call them the friends of Jeffrey. Those are the friends of Jeffrey Epstein right there. It's like 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but 3 degrees of Jeffrey Epstein making up that unholy alliance. And, you know, people are realizing it at this point. People are beyond realizing it. And even the people that are new to these kind of podcasts and shows are starting to get it real quick. They're starting to get it real quick here. So, you know, I love the attitude, sort of, you know, and I love fighting these bad guys too, you know, and we can win this, because it comes down to all of us saying, you know what? No, we're not going to participate in your war. We're not going to participate in your cricket food. We're not going to participate. We're not going to stand by and watch all of our food factories burn down or be told that the cows are farting there and destroying the planet. You know, this just, it's got to stop. It's too much stuff. And I'll take your comments on that after one last break. We'll do another break here with TNT, and then we'll come back. We'll close it out with one more segment with Ronnie Cummins, everybody, on today's News Talk.
Have we reached the Book of Revelation's end times? Is climate change driving the end of the world? Many college professors say so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Peace Professor Michael Clare of Hampshire College had the following to say in Salon Magazine. If our Earth continues heating at its exponential rate, our post-apocalyptic fantasies could become everyday realities. And here's the real apocalypse. Get ready. Here's what he said. We envision rising temperatures, prolonged droughts, freakish storms, hellish wildfires, rising sea levels, food riots, mass starvation, state collapse, mass migrations, and conflicts of every sort up to including full-scale war could prove even more disruptive and deadly. Persistent drought and hunger will force millions of people to abandon their traditional lands and flee to the squalor of shanty towns. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what your children are being taught at so-called institutes of higher learning. Take back your kids' education from professors like Michael Clare at Hampshire College. No more climate apocalypse. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Klaus Schwab has boasted of penetrating government cabinets around the world. He claimed in one interview that more than half of Justin Trudeau's Canadian cabinet are young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. If freedom prevails, the peoples of all nations will reject Klaus Schwab's fourth industrial revolution of surveillance and control and biotechnologies designed to change what it means to be human. We don't have to walk muzzled and compliant straight into a transhumanist hell. As Klaus Schwab himself admits, the new technologies of the fourth industrial revolution could intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior.
This is today's News Talk and the voice of freedom, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm joined by Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association. Check them out on the web for sure. Ronnie, welcome back to the show. So, you know, we're talking about where to go from here and how important it is for our health, for our well-being, to build that community, especially out in rural America. What about, do you have any thoughts or maybe suggestions for those of us that might be stuck in suburban areas, or even worse yet, the dreaded urban areas? What's going to happen for those folks?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to put in a plug. I'd like to stay in touch with you and all your listeners. So all you have to do is go to organicconsumers.org and sign up for our free newsletter. This way we'll be in touch every week, and if you want, every day. We have a bunch of social media platforms as well. Some of them are trying to kick us off. Some of them, like Rockfin, or you can say what you believe. Let's stay in touch. Urban America, this is where 86% of the U.S. population live. It's extremely important that we don't let the powers that be divide us, you know, urban and rural. You know, I think it's very important that we think about things like lots of young people would like to go back to the land, just like we did in the 60s and early 70s. We've got to make that possible, you know, because it's a good thing to happen. We've got to look at what our urban environments are like. I think it's only, you know, 7% of the land in the U.S., but we could plant a hell of a lot more trees in our urban areas than we have now. And while we're at it, let's plant trees that produce nuts or fruits. And let's think about what happened during the Second World War, right before I was born. I mean, America was growing 40 to 50% of our fruits and vegetables in our cities, in these victory gardens. You know, we turned schoolyards and parks and backyards into this. We don't need 65 million acres of green lawn in America, you know, sprayed with pesticides and using fertilizers that run off. It's like, let's turn our urban areas into, you know, green spaces that produce a lot of our food. Let's turn our schools into places where, you know, young people actually learn and get inspired. And if the public schools won't do it, well, let's do what we did in the 60s. Let's set up our own schools. We can set up our own daycare cooperatives. We can set up our own community gardens, our own freedom schools. We can tune in to media like TNT radio. Turn off the TV, the network TV, you know, tune out from Google and all the other people trying to control what you can see. And we'll realize that we can make things better. I live part of the time in Minneapolis in a inner city neighborhood. I mean, actually 8 blocks from where the cops killed George Floyd, you know, and I've seen with my own eyes that it's like we cannot allow the destruction of small businesses, you know, and burn out buildings. And, you know, I was in a Target in a poor neighborhood last week with my wife. There's no more cashiers. You know, people were in a line like automatons waiting for the automated checkout. It's like, how did this happen? How is it that all the small businesses that used to thrive in that area, they're still burnt out from the George Floyd, you know, situation? I mean, when you look behind the scenes, BlackRock and all these people are buying up. I mean, rents are sky high. You know, people are people really smiling a lot on the streets in urban America? I mean, it's like, to me, when I go back and forth to Mexico, that's the first thing I notice. It's like, okay, people are poor in Mexico, but they sure do smile at you. And when you say hello, buenos dias, they don't think you're some weirdo about to, you know, pickpocket them or molest them. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can make better in our urban areas that are pretty easy, like saying hello to people, you know, like talking to that neighbor next door, you know, and the cops. It's just like, all right, talk to them. You know, it's like no one wants an increase in crime. You know, they got really hard jobs. Yeah, some of them have been, you know, made really negative and made really paranoid, and they got a really hard job. But, you know, we have got to talk to the cops, the sheriffs, the people in the military. You know, our survival as a democracy may come down to the relationship we have with our local sheriffs. Go, you know, organize a meeting of people, go talk to them, talk about how you're alarmed that the Constitution is being shredded right in front of our eyes, and that they, the sheriffs, are going to be called on to put us down at some point. We don't need to love one another, but we do need to get a grip on the really important things and move forward together and enjoy it as we do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Biden's got this whole build back better thing. The government's not going to build anything back better. Has the government built anything? That's us. That's our money. They've used our tax dollars to make anything that they make, including all those bazillion dollar payments that they made to criminal companies like Pfizer and corrupt governments like Ukraine. So, you know, they're not going to fix anything. And with regards to the cops, that's really, I'm glad you brought that up, because for my next news read in my next hour, I'm going to talk about privatizing police duties. There's academics in Montreal from their economic institute that want to, they're saying how great it would be if we enhanced public safety while saving public dollars with auxiliary private security agents. And this is just the worst idea. This is like a hand in the glove of the defund the police thing, because then what you're going to end up with is, I don't know, like Facebook police or just the lowest bidder sort of policing that's going to happen. I mean, it could be the absolute end. And in California, I think the city council or the board of directors, someone are proposing that sheriffs be appointed instead of elected. Now tell me that's not a nightmare waiting to happen right there, you know? So yeah, that community engagement and speaking to people, it makes a big difference, I think. It makes a really big difference for sure.
Yeah, I think also the whole drug war situation is gone on for way too long. It's just like
way,
you know, down in Mexico, where the cartels really control half the country now, and where you have to watch out what you're doing, even in the, you know, organic farming circles. It's like where do these chemicals come from that they make fentanyl and amphetamine? Where do they come from? Well, the ships are coming straight from China with these precursor chemicals. Everyone knows this is going on. You know, the drugs, the reason kids, you know, join the drug gangs in Mexico, I mean, sometimes it's because you have to or they'll kill you, you know, but they pay $1,200 a month. You know, they're the biggest employer in Mexico. The cartels employ more people in Mexico than Walmart does, you know? And yeah, sure, the kids know, well, I'm probably not going to live very long, you know, but if your choice is making $400 a month or less and you can't even get by, you know, it's a big problem. So we have to get at the root of this. Let's legalize all drugs. There's a strong movement in Mexico to do this. Let's treat drug addiction for what it is. It's a medical problem. It's not a criminal problem unless you turn it into one. Let's think twice about the fact that we've got all these gun dealers along the border in the United States who are selling all the guns to the cartels in Mexico. I've got no problem with people having guns in the U.S., but I do have a problem with people who are making a killing off selling guns to the cartels in Mexico, you know, because it blows back, you know, on us. So let's get a grip on this. You can't have in Mexico, you can't even, like on our farm, you know, you can't legally have anything beyond a 22. Which is not adequate to defend yourself. But the cartels are armed to the teeth with guns that they brought across the border. And it's just like they don't have any ammunition factories, the cartels in Mexico. They don't have any arms manufacturing facilities. You know, let's listen to what the everyday people in Mexico are begging us to do, which is, God damn it, let's put an end to this drug war. Let's put an end to this armaments industry across the border. And let's, let's live life, you know, in peace, yeah, and prosperity. Yeah. Just like in Prohibition in the United States, you know, it's just like once we ended Prohibition, well, what did the mafia do? Well, they got involved in business, you know, and I'd love to see the Mexican cartels get involved in agriculture, organic agriculture, you know, turn that money into something good, you know, but we've got, we've got a long ways to go. We got to end this drug war, end this fictitious war on communism, terrorism, you know, germs,
viruses.
Exactly. And I think we can do it. I think we hit bottom here during COVID, and there's no way to go except up. So that's that's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, who would have thunk it, Ronnie, that when we hit bottom, we'd be sitting on the couch watching Netflix and having Uber Eats deliver us stuff. I mean, this is a way different apocalypse than I ever imagined. Apocalypse nonetheless, but one we can't avoid. So thank you so much for your time and everything you do, Ronnie. Let's stay in touch. We'll do this again. And everybody be sure and go to his website and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter is amazing. You'll get a bunch of good stuff in there. It's the Organic Bites newsletter at the Organic Consumers Association. So thank you so much, Ronnie.
Thank you, Brian. Keep up the good work.
You too, sir. You too. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to top of the hour news, everybody. We'll be back. It's going to be great. Stick with us at TNT.